Bad idea. Grace to you and peace, friends, from God our Father, God's Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The master has returned. So the servants immediately rush to their quarters, grabbing the coins that were given to them months ago by their boss, ensuring that he sees they've not lost what's been given to them. Or at least that narrow perspective is the intent of the one who holds only one coin in his hand. Probably beaming, just giddy as he wipes the dirt off of it, because he just has dug it up. That all changes, though, as the other servants return. His countenance falls because they don't just have the coins they received, but double. They've got more than they were given. They didn't just hide these valuable pieces given to them by their Lord, but they took a risk because they too knew he was a hard master. They put it to use and they gave their master something that they knew he desired. How ridiculous it seems at first to risk these gifts, right? Except, of course, that it worked. There they are all, cash in hand, standing, preparing for judgment. And the two who have returned more hear what? You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come and celebrate with me. While the one who hid his coin hears only scorn and disappointment. What we have to understand as we interpret Jesus' parables. Parables are these stories that Jesus tells to try to teach us something. We have to see two things. One, that every detail has some kind of meaning. Every detail has a purpose. But at the same time, every metaphor has its limits. So in other words, these important details are not about the surface meaning, because parables aren't meant to have simple interpretations. So in other words, at first glance, you hear the point of this parable as the production of money, right? That someone might have the idea that, oh, Jesus just wants us to get more cash rolling. Yet, that doesn't seem to mesh with like the rest of what we know about Jesus. So what's the point here? When Jesus tells parables, he uses these common themes in their culture, right? That first century Jews and Romans would understand so he could point out something new to them, something beautiful, something beyond. So Jesus uses this story of a harsh, money-focused master, something his listeners surely would have understood, and maybe we know something about today, I don't know, to prove a different point. The key to this story isn't how much money these servants earned, but that they faithfully used and shared the gifts that they were given. That's what sets apart the evil and lazy servant from the others. Not that he returns just with the coin that he was given, but that he hoarded it, that he hid it, that he was afraid to lose it. God doesn't just give us things to hide them under a bushel. How many times have we sung that song, hide it under a bushel?
No.
No, that's right. I'm going to let it shine. God gives us things that we might use them and use them well, that we might be faithful with what we're given, that they might actually bring new life. So think about it this way. When the master gives these servants their coins, he knew full well he might lose them. That's why they're given according to these servants' abilities. The master could have very well, like he told that servant, put the coins in the bank himself before he left and earned interest. But instead, the master actually models the behavior that he expects from his servants. He gives them something and asks them to do something more with it. Don't just hide what you have, but instead take a risk, share it with others. See if it grows. See if it gives life. Put the things that we have in our care to good use, and maybe we can return new life to God as well. Because we, like the servants, are also called to give the Lord more of the things that God desires. But let's be clear. God is unlike this master. Our Lord is no ordinary master. God doesn't want a financial return on the investment. God wants us to use the things that we're given faithfully. And yes, I'm saying there's a difference between faithfulness and 100% return on your investment. God offers us gifts with a deep desire to see them multiply, yes, to see us invest in wonderful things, but to see those things bear fruit for God's kingdom, not for capital gains. As a church, I think we're coming to a point where our community needs to take stock of the gifts that are given to us, both individually and corporately, as a body, and ask how to best steward them faithfully. How do we best use what God's given us? And when we talk about these gifts, we've got to cast a pretty wide net and consider the extent of God's generosity in our lives. What's the first thing when we talk about using gifts or using resources well that comes to your mind?
Talents.
Talents, right?
Money.
Money, right. That there's this idea that almost instantly resources or money come into play. And I'm so glad someone said talents first. Thank you, Lord. It's working! Faith formation, yes. Because we so often go first to money, as though that's the only thing we've got to give. The only thing that God's given us. Now, let's be clear. Money belongs to God. And that is part of what we're called to be good stewards of. But the story is so much bigger and more beautiful than just cash. Our skills, our talents, whether in the garden or in sports or in music or in relationships, even in our occupations, these are all skills that God has given us. The same is true of the time that we have, the homes where we live, the spaces we inhabit, the bodies that we experience the world with every day. God's given each of these things to us, each according to our abilities even, and called us to use them in ways that honor and reflect God's identity. So brass tacks, pun intended, what does that mean? I think it first means that if we've decided we have to hoard or hide these gifts, then we're doing it wrong. The things that we have for a reason, and the reason is to use them. Don't hear me saying go to the casino and blow your life savings. That is not what Pastor is saying to you right now. I promise. But what I am saying is these things are meant for use to give life to you and others. If we bury the treasure given to us by God, then we're just covering heaven's gold with the dust of the earth. I think hiding these gifts, which is something that I do, right? I think all of us do this at some point, reveals something about us. Maybe it's distrust of God or fear of others or shame in ourselves. But in the face of all these temptations, God calls us to take heart, to have courage, to actually take the risk of using the gifts that we have. I'm here to say that it's okay to expect something from one another. It's actually okay to have expectations in a community, right? Like, you expect me to show up on Sunday morning to have something like a sermon prepared for you. I expect you all to be active members of this community, and that looks different for each of you. But the expectations is actually what binds us together. I don't expect you to be perfect. And if you expect me to be perfect, I will fail you. Michelle will tell you that. Not that she expects me to be perfect, she just knows how desperately I'm not. But the point of this is that God actually expects something of us when these gifts are given. God expects faithfulness, expects fruitfulness. In the parable, the master celebrated the servants who actually used and created more with the gifts left in their care. Now, this parable is not, again, about profit, but it's that their coins gave birth to new coins. Their gifts actually gave life. The same is true of the gifts God's given us. God expects our gifts to be life-giving. Perhaps this means our talents of knitting, or sewing, or gardening, or crafts. We can use those to help other people learn how to create sustainable incomes and occupations for themselves. That's how we use a gift and make it life-giving. Maybe we could even build raised beds on our property and create an outdoor classroom to help students and adults of all ages to learn how to grow food again on their own land. They might actually be able to care for themselves when hard times hit. Maybe it means sponsoring a scholarship contest for students at RU and at Radford High School, involving them in innovation and creativity to try to see how can we make a difference in this world? How can we positively impact this place? Maybe it means finding a way to get access to the Head Start building that's not in use right now down the hill, to provide affordable and safe childcare in our area. These are gifts, but we have to dream much bigger than just the meager things we think, oh, I have that. We don't have much of that right now, but we could if we use our gifts and seek life with them. Now, that might seem like a lot, but these are things that we can do together if we put God's gifts to good use. So perhaps it might help if we learn to take a risk on our own, just using something of small value. So you get some permission to take a risk. Okay? Does that sound good? Yeah? Okay, good. Because we're going to do that. I'm giving each of you a dollar. That's right. Don't get too excited yet. All right. Everyone gets a dollar. You get a dollar. You get a dollar. And you're welcome. Oh, I'm going to give you a full, oh, that is full dollar, just bent. There. Here, can I get you to help me pass the rest of these out and give the rest back to me? Now, there's a reason I'm doing this. I've seen pastors before do this and then expect you to return next week with another dollar. By now, we should know that's not the point of this parable, right? That the point is not just to create more cash for money's sake. I don't expect you to simply use this dollar to make money. What I hope that you will do is use this dollar to create new life. That could mean more earning dollars for a different purpose. Thank you. Very honest. Well done. But it could also mean giving this dollar away so that others might experience grace, or generosity, or relief. Because again, God gives us things, why? To bear fruit, to give life. But here's a very important caveat, okay? The offering plate is gonna come around in about 15 minutes. Don't put it in there, okay? That's the easy way out. I know. We're trying to be something more. God is challenging us with this parable to say, I have something to give you. What are you going to do with that? There's meant to be a risk involved with this. You might put it back in there eventually in a few months with something more because you want to see a new ministry here at CLC that reaches out to students at Radford High or that creates more of an impact through feeding ministry or that creates sustainable jobs. Or perhaps you'll come back and you'll have given it away to someone who needed a sign of life in this world. Hear this clearly. Coming back empty-handed is not failure. If your hands are empty because you used what was in them to give someone else life, that's faithfulness. What I hope is that in the next few weeks, you'll share with one another, you'll tell stories to one another and to me about how you used this dollar to give life. Maybe you'll meet someone who's in need of a meal, and you'll give them just a bit of life. Maybe you'll see an opportunity to put your dollars together and buy some items to donate to our partners like Beans and Rice or the Women's Resource Center. In whatever way you use this, just don't hide it. If these dollars come back dirtier than they were, oh no, I'll remember. Here's the thing. God gives us these gifts. And just so desperately wants to see them alive in the world. Because God so desperately wants to see us alive in the world. That's what these gifts are about. God's put us here, right? He's given us a church, given us a community. But he's also giving us gifts because God doesn't want to see us die. God wants to see us move and thrive in new directions. And that's the truth of all of our gifts as Christians. There sometimes feels like there's so much we can't do on our own. And we are tempted to bury those gifts. Don't. Don't. Instead, be courageous. Ask one another for help. Tell your sister, there's something I really want to do, but I need 197 to do it. And this just isn't enough. If you're trying to bring abundant life to God's people, to God's creation, then that is surely worth the risk. Not only will you discover what gifts others bring, how differently gifted each of us are, but you'll see your own gifts grow as they're honed, made more excellent by your friends as they honor you and give you life in this world. God gives us these gifts to use them to bring new life. I think as a community, we can do more than just putting these dollars to work. Let's do that. Amen.